there was 9,000 in attendance, I think.
Wow, that's so massive. Good.
Yeah, it was a real, there was like music outside, there was a band, like people were in the stadium really early, part of which I think is because Birmingham are trialling the drinking in the stands.
Yeah.
So actually, why not? There were so many people in the stands before kickoff. It's like a really nice buzz about the place. Quite a crap first half, won't lie. It was one of those where, you know, Birmingham needed the win, but didn't want to leave themselves super open because a draw or a loss, and they wouldn't do anything. So the first half was kind of dull, apart from his liner getting booed every time he touched the ball. Very funny. And then the second half, London City Lionesses went 2-0 up, and it did look like it was going to be a sort of a whimpering end. And then an incredible fight back. The last 20 minutes of that game, everyone was on their feet the entire time. Like, wow. It was amazing. The limbs when the two goals went in for Birmingham. I thought Emily Van Egmond was just going to like run the whole way of the pitch. I don't know if the cameras caught it, but for the second goal, two Birmingham players jumped into each other and they both ended up on the floor. It was like, this deserves a promotion.
But oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, it was not to be. But I'll be rooting for Birmingham to come up because I think that would be such a cool away day as well. One thing that happened at the game, my girlfriend overheard two people in front of us going, does Hannah still play football? And the other person went, yeah, no, she's just won the WSL. So shout out to the family friends of Hannah Hampton in front of us, I guess. But yeah, what do we think about Michelle Kang's move? I mean, it's good. People like to say it's good for her putting money into the women's game, but it does feel a little bit cult of personality at points. I think the trophy presentation was quite strange.
Yeah, millionaire ego.
Yeah,
ego trip.
Front, like in the graphic about them being promoted, and it's just like her face surrounded by the players. Like, I don't remember you score any goals.
I kind of love that.
It's interesting, and to see who will. I think there's going to be a lot of players giving a thank you for your service.
But she's doing a massive clear out.
Oh surely. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not just going to try and stay up. It's like...
Oh, yeah. Katie McCabe will be putting pen to paper and signing for Michelle before you know it. We're finally seeing why Jenna Nyswong has been bought. And it's because Katie's heading to the Lionesses.
It will be really interesting to see what transfers they're going to make. Because I reckon, they're going to have one of the most exciting windows of the WSL this summer. Yeah. However, when I went to see them at Meadow Park in that early FA game against Arsenal, they looked great. They were really quick, really strong. They look like a really sort of terrifying side, actually.
Yeah.
So I think, they've also got some great young players, like Taya Goldie, for example, was there.
Who went off on crutches again yesterday, I think.
Oh, God.
So hopefully that's not another injury for her.
I hope not.
I'm just very excited, and I hope she's not one of the players let go. It's exciting for Chantal Boye-Halorka to come up to WSL, because she's a fantastic player, and I'm really excited for that. But, yeah.
TBC.
Next season, Birmingham. Next season's yours.
So, as you might know, every week we pick our Screamer of the Week, which is, in our eyes, the greatest goal from across the women's game. Maya, you just took the win last week with an impressive amount of votes for Mariona Caldente.
Activated
Super
Arsenal.
Mario.
Yeah.
Don't take it away from her, guys.
Or is it Clutch Dente?
It was an excellent goal.
It was all of the Versus writers defending their captions. That's what it was.
An honourable mention for Esme Morgan, who scored her first goal in the NWSL and then actually ended up scoring a brace in that game.
Crazy.
Washington Spirit. They did actually lose the game to Angel City.
And it was Sandy McIver's first game for Washington Spirit. So I think Esme Morgan kind of felt her bestie's presence on the pitch and was like, Shirley, I'm going to score for you. And then they could celebrate together, which was really cute.
That's really sweet.
But my screamer, I have to say, like, I don't think there were that many screamers this week. So my one is a bit unorthodox, but it's Grace Clinton's header in the Manchester Derby. Partly, it was an absolutely great header. It was a header screamer. But the
ground rules before, I'm sure Jessie has said no headers.
I don't know. Jessie
has loads of rules for herself.
Yeah, they're my. I would never seek to impose that on anybody else.
The thing that
I just think headers aren't.
Oh no, that's
screamers.
Not like you.
The thing that I loved the most about it was when it went in and she fell to the ground, she like slapped the floor.
Yeah, that was good.
And I just thought it was so funny, like a sort of cowboy. I loved it.
I enjoyed that as well.
I liked Mallard and Turlin's little dancing as well for their second goal. Who are you picking on her?
I'm going to go with Isabel Goodwin's goal for London City Lionesses. It was just, classic banger. Loved it.
Yeah, it was a great goal. That was my honourable mention. My honourable mention and my screamer were both from the game yesterday. And my head said Isabel Goodwin is the better goal. But my heart could not avoid picking Cho So-yeon for the second, the equalising goal for Birmingham, which was just this like ridiculous out of nowhere volley. The cross came over and just sort of scooped it up and over, and love then that. And that love was the that. Goal. Then I think it might actually have been Cho So-yeon who like peeled away and jumped into a defender, and then they were both rolling around on the floor. So just for the limbs and the volleying.
Nice.
That's my screamer of
love
the week.
Love that.
So we will put the clips of those goals up on Instagram for those who haven't seen, and then you'll be able to vote on Spotify and on Instagram stories for the screamer of the week. But from Maya, we have
Grace Clinton.
From Honor, we have
Isabel Goodwin.
And from me, we have Cho So-yeon.
So this week saw the FA do a U-turn on their policy for trans people in football. Having only released their guidelines a couple of weeks ago, they're now banning all trans people from football. They're saying it's in response to the recent Supreme Court ruling, which we're all completely opposed to. And also there's no kind of stipulation that they have to now change their rules, but they have decided to. And it's coming into effect on the 1st of June. I have to say, I'm not sure in sort of light of this, how they can say anymore that they sort of stand for football for all.
Yeah.
And also that they said themselves on Thursday that less than 30 trans players are registered with the FA. So it just seems like, I mean, they're putting an awful lot of resource into this for less than 30 people who are just trying to enjoy themselves and play a sport they love.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's like, obviously it feeds into a much wider conversation about the increasing exclusion of trans people and trans women specifically from public life and sport and community. So its impact is much more wide reaching. But when you think about the actual, so it's people playing in an FA affiliated league. So there's lots of football that isn't, but it is, I've seen, between 20 and 30 people. This is about stopping 25 women from playing football. And at the end, like, is that what we want our national governing body of sport to be doing? You couldn't even field a fully fledged 11-a-side game between the amount of trans women that play in FA leagues.
Exactly.
None of them play at a professional level. Not that that would in any way justify this call, but you know, this is very much amateur level. This is women finding teams that are welcoming them. And the FA loves to talk about the benefits of playing football and the benefits of community and how good sport is for mental health and, you know, a sense of inclusion. And we've just decided that actually a community who are already going through it and are probably most in need of, you know,
community
connection, sport, all of the benefits that come from football. We've decided that actually, no, we're going to
penalise them.
Very clearly, we're just waiting for an opportunity, I would say, to do so.
Yeah, I mean, it's really disgusting actually seeing the people who have been sort of crowing with delight since the FA have come out with it. It's so hard. It's hard to see how they could, like you say, still kind of believe or even stand by the fact that they're trying to make football for all or bring joy in community when there is nobody that benefits from this.
No.
In the women's game, it's all grassroots amateur football, which we all do for community, for connection, for fun.
Yeah.
And that's just been taken away from a community in need. And it just, it is horrible.
And they love to tout the sort of the safety and fairness line. I would say in all of my years of playing football, the moments where I have felt unsafe on a pitch has never been anything to do with playing with trans people.
Yeah, or against them, exactly.
Yeah, it is, you know, it's grassroots football, so there's varying levels of skill going on. It's, you know, it's the lack of quality of pitches. It is a physical game where just things sometimes happen.
Yeah, the very nature of football is that people have different abilities and different strengths. We talk about this all the time.
Mm.
Just because someone is a trans woman doesn't mean that they're going to be dangerous or...
Yeah, I mean, inherent within it is just a misogyny.
It's misogyny and transphobia, isn't it, all wrapped together. And I do think, like, we talk about, you know, other things in football like racism, misogyny, pay discrepancy, all that kind of thing. Like, that's what the FA should be concentrating on.
Yep.
That's the stuff that is actually going to help women in football.
Yeah.
This is not going to help any of us.
No, there are genuine things they could do to improve the safety of women in football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at the scandals there have been with coaches.
Exactly.
In relationships with players.
Yeah. Exactly.
Abuses of power. Yeah. Like,
This really is not something that they are doing to make anything safer for anybody.
No, it's just a massive delusion which we see all over the world of transphobia.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like people making things up in their mind and projecting these ideas that they have about trans people on real life situations, and
it just don't exist.
It's just full of hate and not full of anything to do with reality at all.
For people who don't have maybe, friends or relationships with people who are trans, it's so easy to get swept up in what you're being told by the media. And, you know, why would you question what is being repeated everywhere in every single touch point on the news, in newspapers, like online? Mm. It's so difficult for people to sort of see through that. I mean, we're quite lucky in, you know, our experience of grassroots football has been very inclusive, you know, in multiple different ways. And part of that has been it's very trans inclusive. And I, you know, playing with trans players only makes us better, both as footballers, but as people. Think about it. We talk about the ban on women playing football for 50 years. And how much that held the game back. And this will be seen in the same way.
Exactly. Football should just be for everyone. It should be a place where we can all feel safe, we can all feel happy, we can all feel connected. And at Screamers, we firmly oppose the ban and are really disgusted with the FA. It goes without saying, but we stand in solidarity with all of our trans siblings. And we've reached out to football teams across the UK also for their messages of support.
Hi, this is Ex-Girlfriend FC. We just want to say that we'll always make space for our trans siblings. Our stance on the FA affiliated leagues remains the same. We won't ever be involved because they aren't inclusive and football should be for all.
We love you, we're here for you, and we just want to see you on the pitch soon.
Brockwell United want to send so much love to our trans and non-binary players and siblings. We love having you on our teams. We love playing against you and you will always be welcome with us. Big love.
Since 1986, Hackney Women FC has proudly created a space where LGBTQIA plus players can play the game that they love. This decision is not just a policy change, it's a direct threat to the values we fought to uphold for nearly four decades. For the Hackney Club specifically, our development team would not be what it is without trans players. Trans players have always and will always continue to be welcomed at Hackney and within the club's team specifically.
Hi, we're Jokes FC and we wanted to send out lots of love and solidarity to the trans community. Trans people have and always will be welcomed and cherished members of our team regardless of any changes to the rules. So the FA and the SFA can just bug off, really.
Hi, this is A Sisterhood FC, and we stand in full solidarity with our trans siblings in the face of the FA's disgraceful decision this week. Football is for everyone, and that means trans people belong on and off the pitch. We believe in an inclusive, joyful, and just game where every player feels safe, welcome, and celebrated. And to our trans teammates, friends, and community, we see you, we love you, and we've got your backs always. A Sisterhood is with you.
Sending love and solidarity from Bays FC. We love all of our trans siblings, friends, family, and fellow footballers. Football's our sport, and you're always welcome to play with us. Hope everyone's taking care of themselves, and hopefully see you all out on the pitch sometime soon.
At TBC FC, we reject the FA's shameful decision to ban trans women from the game. We send our love and solidarity from Wales, and will continue to fight for trans rights both on and off the pitch and across the borders. You will always be welcome to play with and against us. Love from the team here at TBC FC.
Everyone at Whippets FC is sending love and support to the trans community, especially those women who've been left without a safe space to play football as a result of this ridiculous FA ban. We stand with you, and we'll be doing what we can to protest this, because football should just be for everyone. End of story.
So a couple of days ago, we had the pleasure to speak to Nicole Allison, who is, as Jessie mentioned, the owner of Worcester City Women. It was really fascinating talk, so let's play it for you now.
We're so excited to have a very special guest this week, Nicole Allison, who is the owner of Worcester City Women's Football Club and one of the very few sole female owners of a women's football club in the world. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you very much. How are you guys?
We're very good. Thank you so much for coming on. And congratulations on staying up this season and your amazing 5-0 win last weekend.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was a nice way to round off our first season in the National League, which, you know, as predicted, was a challenge. It was always going to be tough to go into Tier 4 because it is a big jump on and off the pitch. What a lot of people don't realise is that when you're in Tier 5 regional league, you finish your league quite often right at the end of May, and then you start the season in Tier 5 again in September. But if you get promoted, which of course we did, which is fantastic, we then had to start our season mid-August, which meant we started pre-season 3 to 4 weeks earlier than what we normally would do, right? So the 5-0 win last Sunday was just a really nice way of rounding off a challenging but really also very valuable season because we learned a huge amount. And now there's a little bit of time for rest. And I say a little bit because I do tell the coaches and everybody else to go off, like, don't think about Worcester City women for at least 2 to 3 weeks.